Ramsey TV.
I said something shocking last week, and yes, what? Oh, it's true. They're telling me I say shocking things every week. So, all right, last week I said another shocking thing, and that is that God caused the Egyptians to hate the Israelites. The problem for people who didn't like that truth is that I had a scripture verse for it. Ooh, that always gets them. Psalm 105:25. God turned their hearts, that is the hearts of the Egyptians, to hate his people. What? God makes people hate other people? That is true. And the conclusion I reached, which was the conclusion any normal sane person would reach, is that God causes people to sin. This is Martin Sender. This is why you come here. I encounter and delve into the topics that no one in the field of Scripture, few people in the field of Scripture will dare to tackle because they don't understand it. They don't understand it. You look at the Garden of Eden, how many times have I said that God not only knew that Adam was going to sin, but he constructed the whole scene, the whole thing, so that Adam and Eve would sin because it was God's intention for sin to enter in. And the problem with this is that people think this makes God a sinner. Yeah, people think this. People think that just because God causes people to sin, and he does. Hey, don't shoot the messenger. Take it to the boss, okay? Tell it to the judge. People assume, and here's the killer thing, the assumption that God sins in causing people to sin. I did not explain that last week, did I? No, I didn't think so. So I'm going to explain it now. It's a simple explanation. Let me state for the record that God never sins. Never, ever, ever. To sin means to miss the mark. That's the literal meaning of the word. So, for instance, if I were to roll up a ball of paper and try to shoot that ball of paper into the waste basket, if I were to miss it, which I never do, I always hit it. If I were to miss it, however, let's just say, hypothetical, that would be sin because I have missed the mark. Someone shooting an arrow at a target. Bing! If they don't hit the target, they miss the mark. God is perfect in everything he does, so he does not sin. So we have what some would consider a problem here. Not me. I don't consider it a problem, and you won't either after today. The problem is that, okay, Martin, you say, and the scripture says, yeah, that's right, thank you. I'm just repeating what the scripture says, that God, all is of God. All is of God. God does everything. Therefore, and this would mean that God is responsible for everything that happens. And he is. Not one thing that has come into being has come into being apart from God, apart from Christ. That's John. Nothing that has come into being has come apart from God. Let me ask you this. Has sin come into being? Yes, we can all agree sin is something that has come into being. Therefore, it is of God. Does that make God a sinner? No. This is why. Get ready. It is because God did not miss the mark in bringing sin into his universe. I love making sense for a living. Sin was intended to come in. So check what this does. My teaching that sin was planned, that it serves a purpose, and I'm going to explain that purpose in a second, that theology clears God of any possibility of missing the mark because he intended it. It was in the playbook. It was in the script. Now, the magic Christians who are always trying to help God's resume, always trying to prop up his reputation because God sure doesn't do a very good job of it in the scripture. There's God all loosey-goosey taking responsibility for everything. It's like the Christians think that, you know, God had an extra shot of whiskey. He had too much to drink, and he's like raving in a drunken stupor. I create evil. I do all these things. It's like, God, don't, God. Somebody take him away. Cut him off. I kill and I make alive. I create good and evil. No, just come and somebody cut him off. So the Christians have to improve God's resume. Now, you didn't mean to say that. You did not create evil. Shut up. Take his booze away. That's poor God. No, I really did create evil. I did everything. I did you everything. No, God is quite sober, quite sane when he says he does everything. So God does not miss the mark. He intends it to come in. Otherwise, this was what the Christians do. So see, my theology, it doesn't allow God to miss the mark because he wanted sin to come in. So he said, I want sin here. Boom, and sin came. So it perfectly, he hit the mark. He wanted sin. He hit the mark. They say that he never intended for sin to come in. Never intended. He set up the Garden of Eden to be this perfect paradise that would never be spoiled in any way. He sits there on his school desk with his hands folded, and he never intends anything to go wrong. I can't handle it when things go wrong. So then what the Christians don't realize is that they have sin coming in through the back door. They have sin entering surreptitiously by another source, i.e. Satan, and now God has to deal with a problem that he did not plan for. Ooh, sounds like you're trying to help God with his resume. Unfortunately, an unintended consequence for you is that you are the ones making God a sinner. By trying to protect God from the introduction of sin into his universe, you instead make him a sinner because he missed the mark in planning for a perfect universe and not being able to get it. He aimed for a perfect universe. He aimed for an Adam and Eve that never sinned. He aimed for a universe that would never be mired or darkened by the shadow of Satan, and he missed the mark because God gets a call on the hotline one day. I hate to tell you this, sir, but sin has entered the universe. What? And there was sin, of course, in the universe before Adam and Eve. It was called the disruption of the world. God gets the call. Hello? What? Sin has entered the universe. And then we have the classic Christian scene of God scrambling around trying to fix it. In this sick scenario, God is a sinner because he misses the mark. And now he's looking foolish because for the rest of his time, he has to chase around little problems. Big problems. He's trying to fix everything that went wrong since his perfect vision, his utopian vision for the universe, went afoul by an enemy who snuck in. Can you believe it? Satan pulled a fast one on God. Beep, 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 beep. What? Impossible. That scenario is stupid. It's immature. It's impossible. Here's the truth. And I love telling you the truth. God intended for people to miss the mark. He wanted people to, this is the only teaching that keeps God on the throne. The only one. Because if you don't adopt this truth, then you are inadvertently making God a sinner. Sorry about your luck, but that's what you're doing. God intended this to come in. He turned the hearts of the Egyptians to hate his people. He doesn't allow for this. This is weak language. Well, I guess God, the best Christians can do on this. Well, I guess God allowed sin. He allowed it. What? If he's allowing it, then it's coming from some other source. It's like fruit coming down a conveyor belt to be checked, and God's at the conveyor belt, and the fruit is coming in. Well, I think I'll allow this one. Nope, this one's got to go. No, yes, I'll allow that one. Where's the shit coming from? It's having another source, isn't it, if God is merely a checker? at a conveyor belt. No, he causes all of it to come. Doesn't allow it, causes it, makes it come. There's that great active verb in Psalm 105:25. God turned the Egyptian's heart to hate his people. Why would God want people to hate? It's simple if you look at Romans chapter 9. God wanted opposition. God needed opposition so that his glory could shine against the opposition. It's as simple as that. God wanted a stubborn Pharaoh. He needed a stubborn Pharaoh, so he made a stubborn Pharaoh. Then he wanted the Egyptians to hate his people. Can't take a chance here. So he caused their hearts to hate his people. Back to the Garden of Eden. Without sin, there's no Savior. Sin, Jesus Christ is not an answer to a problem. The answer existed before the problem. God created the problem in order to reveal the answer. He had Jesus Christ, the Lamb was slain from before the disruption of the world. God had Jesus Christ and the love and all the grace and the forgiveness and all that in his heart the whole time. Forgiveness? You can't even comprehend of forgiveness. You can't have forgiveness unless you have people to forgive. And so God purposely sets it up and he introduces it. True, he does it through an intermediary, which is Satan. He does all this through an intermediary, but the buck stops at his desk. He is responsible for it all. He does it through his left-hand man there, Satan, the adversary, but he created the adversary to destroy things. And the adversary, Satan, is doing his purpose quite nicely. God was not taken by surprise in the Garden of Eden. It was a necessary setup in order to reveal what he had in his heart his whole time, which is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. No sin, no salvation. Funny how the Christians go, we love salvation, we love grace, and then they curse sin. They consider it an accident to have come into the universe. They are hypocrites. They don't understand what they're saying, because unless the sin had come in, unless the estrangement and the enmity had entered in, there would not be a Savior. There would not be resurrection without death. Would not be. It's impossible. So God, the Almighty, the Great, the Loving God, causes the antagonism to come in, makes it come in, does not sin in introducing sin to the universe, because it's exactly what he wanted to happen for his ultimate goal.